Birth, the Grand Division, Chapter 26. "Gentlemen, start your engine," said Katie as she spooned in behind Dick under the crisp sheets of the bed. She ran her fingers smoothly through his hair and slid her bare foot against the back of his. "What time is it?" he asked without moving. "It's 6:30," she said, softly tugging at his ear with her teeth. "It seems like 3:30, he said quietly, reaching back with his right hand and pulling her closer to him. "It is 3:30 for you, but I think we should get moving," she said. "Oh, I don't think it's time for you to go just yet," he said, turning his head to kiss her again as she hovered her mouth over his. He placed his left hand behind her head and pulled her mouth to his. The evening's wine made his head feel like it was packed in warm cotton, but her body slid easily over his, and they made love again. It was smooth and quiet, and they relaxed in just a few minutes. "Hey, even eggs take 3 minutes," she said. "I know, but that is all I have. I'm afraid I'm going to need a shower and some coffee before I join the land of the living again," he said. "Well, last one in the shower is in second place," she said, tickling him and throwing the covers back. His lean body was smooth and strong, and his smile was genuine. "To hell with second place," he said, sitting up and sliding his feet to the floor. "We can sleep when we die." They laughed quietly, trying not to wake Kyle and Donna in the next room, and skipped naked across the hall to the bathroom. "I like the decor, but I hate this hair," she said as she bunched it together with her hands while looking in the mirror. "I like the look," he said as he gently swatted her skinny round behind. "Excuse me while I get rid of some of this wine." "I'm next," she said, turning on the shower and adjusting the temperature. "Nice shower head." They traded places and Nick jumped in the shower, removing his eye patch for the first time since they met. He kept his eye closed, even though the lightweight polycarbonate eyeball wasn't that bad to look at. He just got used to the patch, since the go-kart accident destroyed his natural eye. The hot water felt good on his body, still feeling the effects of 2 days of hard driving and a long night of napping and sex. Within moments, she stepped through the sliding glass door and closed it behind her. They shared the warm water and kissed while it rinsed the small amount of sweat from their skin. He reached for the soap and washed his arms and his lightly hairy chest and then rubbed his body against hers like a human washcloth. "You feel amazing," she said, melting in front of him. "I was going to say that you feel pretty good for a blogger," he smiled. "Turn around and I'll wash your back," she said. He turned, and she soaped her hands, then washed his muscular back and ran her hands around his butt. "Your turn," he said, and he noticed the small, colorful tattoo on her left shoulder blade in the light of the shower. "I missed the detail in this last night. What is it?" he asked. "It's a flower of life symbol," she said. "Sacred geometry. It's very ancient," she added. "I noticed it's not a scratch and sniff," he said, letting it rinse clean and kissing it. She reached down and squeezed her palm full of shampoo and began to wash her hair. He reached up and began to scrub her hair with his hands as well. She dropped her hands to his waist and let him. She closed her eyes and enjoyed the massaging of her head, still smarting from too much wine. "You know, I thought I would feel worse after 2 bottles of wine, but I actually feel pretty good," she said. "Pretty good?" he asked playfully. "Okay, pretty amazing," she admitted as she stepped forward and rinsed the shampoo from her hair and face. She reached down again and filled her palm with shampoo and placed her hands on his head and washed his hair while looking at his face while he closed his eyes and smiled. "Feel good?" she asked. "Yes, you do," he said with his hands on her hips, drawing her close to him. It was the first time he felt driven by a woman instead of the other way around. "Rinse, driver," she said to him, and he did so. She kissed his mouth again, and they let the water run for a few minutes over their clean bodies. "I have 2 new toothbrushes, he said. "Oh, that bad, huh?" she said playfully. "How would I know? he said as they turned off the water and climbed onto the rug on the tile floor. Here you go, he said as he squeezed Colgate on both brushes. They dried off, and Katie stayed in the bathroom to dry her hair while Dick walked across the hall with a towel wrapped around him and back into the bedroom. He was dressed to the waist when she came in from the bathroom. Her hair was shining and brushed out, and she dropped her towel after closing the door. I didn't bring a change of clothes, she said. Poor planning. Guess you're going to have to go as you are, he said, wrapping his arms around her and kissing her again. Oh, much better, she said, tasting his clean tongue in her mouth. Yes, it is, he said, digging her back. Hand me that eye patch over there. Why do you wear this black patch, she asked. Is it part of the mystique of Dick Daring? Yeah, well, maybe. Actually, I feel more comfortable with people staring at the patch than I do this fake eyeball. At least they know which one to use when they look me in the eye. Besides, it keeps it clean, and it won't fall out unexpectedly, said Dick. Okay, here's your patch, she said, convinced it was probably the right thing. Besides, she thought, it matched his jet black hair and did look kind of sexy after all. Thanks. Hey, I have some clean underwear, if you'd like, he said. Oh, that will keep me excited all day. Your butt is as small as mine, and no comments, driver, she said, snagging the pair of black briefs he tossed her. Kinda soft, actually, she said as she slipped her jeans over them and buttoned the fly. Let's see if the others are up, said Dick. Fully dressed, they walked into the living room and noticed that Donna was sitting on the couch, and her hair looked washed and dried. Hey, girl, said Katie, everything all right? I have a bit of a headache, but other than that, I've never been better, she said, blushing. Katie sat next to her and put her arm around her. You sure? She asked. Yeah, I'm sure. Neither of us knew what to expect, and I think the first few times were clumsy, but we got the hang of it after that, said Donna, laughing shyly. Dick fist-pumped like his team had just made a touchdown and stacked the two empty pizza boxes and put the wine glasses in the dishwasher. Hey, said Katie, scolding him. Sorry, I just wanted my little brother to be all right, he said. Oh, he was more than all right, said Donna. It was me, she paused. At first, I mean, I'm not used to being naked in front of someone else. He's okay, isn't he? Asked Dick with a small concern to his voice. Oh, he's great. He's in the shower. Let me take mine first, she said shyly. He's the most naturally brilliant person I've ever known, said Dick. Oh, he is, said Donna. I learned all about the orbits of planets and the use of magnets in making fuel more efficient and street racing in between and actually during, she smiled and blushed again. That's my little brother, said Dick. He's the nicest boy I ever met. So sweet and so smart and gentle, she said wistfully. Sweet, gentle, and starving, said Kyle, standing in the hallway. I thought I heard you say Bob Evans sausage, said Dick, smiling from the kitchen. Oh, yeah, everything a body needs, said Kyle. Sounds gross, said Donna. Oh, come on, you can have a waffle, said Katie. I love waffles, said Donna with a smile on her face. Let's go, said Dick. You can follow us in our car, said Katie, again taking the lead. Just don't drive too slow, said Dick, smiling as he snatched up his car keys. Within a few minutes, they were driving up the parkway to the exit for the Bob Evans restaurant. Do you see that bumper sticker? Said Kyle as they followed the girl's car. Yeah, no nukes. And that one says www.naturalwarriors.com. I like them, said Dick. They rode in silence and soon pulled into the parking lot. Wow, that smells good, said Kyle. The girls took one space and Dick chose a spot at the back of the lot, away from the other cars. Do you guys like to walk? Asked Donna as they walked up to the entrance where girls were waiting. It's kind of a car thing, said Dick. Oh, yeah, door dings are a bummer, said Katie. They walked inside and soon were sitting with the boys on one side. The breakfast was good and the coffee was better. They laughed and smiled at their new partners, and the waitress cleared the table and brought the check. I've got to go again, said Dick. Me too, said Kyle. Okay, that's a little weird, guys. Normally it's we who go to the bathroom together, said Donna. We'll be right back. I have the check. We'll meet you outside, said Dick, smiling. The girls walked outside into the warm, sunny morning and began to walk for their car. Excuse me, girls, is this your car? Asked the tall man, standing by the back of it with a small pad and a pen in his hand. Can I help you with something? Asked Katie with an edge to her voice. I asked you a question, said the man sternly. So? Who wants to know? She retorted, folding her arms and locking her jaw. What she means to say is there a problem? Asked Donna, trying to defuse the situation. Suddenly a dark Ford Explorer pulled up behind them, and another man got out of the driver's seat. What the hell? Said Katie, turning to face the other man. You are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney and to have an attorney present during any questioning. If you cannot afford it, a lawyer, one will be provided for you at government expense. Do you understand these rights? Asked the first man. I understand. You better get your hands off me, you son of a bitch, said Katie, struggling against the man's grip on her wrist. He turned her around while still holding onto her wrist and snapped a zip tie over her two wrists. Donna offered no resistance and put up her hands behind her back as she began to cry. What's going on? Watch your head, he said, forcing her into the back of the SUV. Katie was still struggling as the two men worked together to get her handcuffed and put her in next to Donna. He closed the door and the two men jumped into the front seats and sped out of the parking lot. The boys returned from the bathroom and walked by their table that was already occupied by another party to the cash register and waited in line to pay behind two other people. It only took a few minutes for them to reach the register. How was everything today? Asked the older lady behind the cash register as Dick handed her the bill. Everything was perfect, said Dick. He pulled out his debit card and let her run the charges. He filled in a generous tip and pocketed the copy for his expense report. They walked out the door and looked around for the girls, but they were nowhere to be found. Their car is right there, said Kyle as he looked around. There was nothing close to them, like a shop or a store in the same parking lot. Maybe they went to the bathroom too, said Kyle. They waited for a couple of minutes with a confused look on their faces. Are you the guys that were sitting with those girls? Asked another couple, waiting outside for their table to open. Yeah, said Dick. Did you see where they went? I think they were arrested by two plainclothes cops, said the man. What the F, said Dick. Kyle walked back into the restaurant quickly and went to the register. Can I see the manager? Right away. It's an emergency, said Kyle to the woman behind the register. She motioned to the store manager, who was standing a short distance away. Do you have a surveillance camera watching the lot outside? He asked, obviously showing he was nervous. Yes, we do. Was there an accident outside? He asked as he turned to face Kyle. Yeah, sort of. Can I see the recording? He asked as Dick walked up beside him. Sure. Come with me, he said as they walked through the tables and toward the office in the back of the kitchen. Show me the last 5 or 6 minutes, said Kyle. The video record showed the man accost Katie and the SUV pulling up and the two men placing the girls in the back. Stop it right there, said Kyle, putting his face close to the screen and memorizing the plate on the back of the SUV. Let's go. Right now, let's go, said Kyle, skipping out of the office and heading for the car. Dick was close behind as the boys ran as fast as they could for the car. I need my laptop, and it's back at the apartment, he said. Dick fired up the Challenger and pulled out of the lot, stepping hard on the accelerator. Easy, man, we can't get pulled over right now, said Kyle. Dick moved quickly between cars, and the two boys looked for police as the car surged onto the parkway and sped up well over 100 miles an hour. Within 3 minutes, they were drifting around the complex parking lot and up the curb next to their door. Come on, you get the detectors and I'll get the laptop, said Kyle, putting his key in the door and slamming it open. Within seconds, they were out of the door, and Kyle slammed it closed behind them. Dick noticed Kyle had black cables in one hand, his laptop under his arm, and a small case in the other. "What is all that stuff?" he asked as they ran for the car. "Put the detectors in the trunk and let me hook this up," said Kyle as he dropped his laptop and the case on the seat. "Pull down the armrest and grab these cables," he said, spinning the BNC and RCA connectors in place and handing the cables through the opening in the back seat from the trunk area. "I got them," said Dick, and Kyle slammed the trunk lid closed. Kyle picked up the case and connected the cables and dropped into the passenger seat, flipping his laptop open and connecting the charger as the solid-state hard drive booted up. He closed the door and tapped the keys quickly to bring up the GPS database of all law enforcement vehicles in the state of Tennessee. "Damn, it's not here," said Kyle, trying to match the license plate. He was in hyperspeed now, applying his nervous energy to the new search. It's federal. I got it, said Kyle. Within a few minutes, the mapping system application came up and he zoomed in to locate the vehicle. "They were going north on I-75, said Kyle. "I'm all over this, buddy," said Dick as he fired up the car and burned rubber backing out of the parking space. He stabbed the accelerator and they hopped out of the lot and headed for the parkway that connected with the interstate. "I need some help with green lights here," he said, and Kyle pulled up the traffic control system. "It's a little behind the Pasadena system. You should have green lights about now," said Kyle, quickly tapping his keyboard. The lights ahead of them turned green and traffic remained uncluttered. Dick moved from lane to lane and passed every car in less than a minute and reached the on-ramp. He squeezed the accelerator down, doing his best not to slide sideways as it drifted onto the expressway. The turbochargers whined as the car surged to 120 miles an hour. "How far ahead are they?" asked Dick. "I make it at 12 miles already. Hold on." He paused as he accessed the communications link to their SUV. "Frozen Head Women's Correctional Facility. That's where they're going. They're about 30 miles away from it. We don't have much time," said Kyle with his voice squeaking. "Hang on, buddy. We're merging onto 640 eastbound," and he brought the car up to 140 miles an hour. "We need to go faster if we're going to catch them on time," said Kyle. "Give me some radar jamming," said Dick, as they fell into their street racing routine. It felt good to go fast again, but this time they were chasing down a cop instead of running from one. "What are we going to do when we catch them?" asked Dick. "You leave that to me," said Kyle. Within 2 minutes they were accessing the I-75 connector and they drifted up to the freeway. It was wide open with very little traffic as Dick floored the car. The turbos harmonized together using Kyle's custom-programmed fuel management system, and the car reached 180 miles an hour within seconds. "At this rate, we will catch them in 8 minutes," said Kyle. "Right on," said Dick, raising his voice over the sound of the wind being sliced by the car. "Get as close as you can to his vehicle," said Kyle. Dick moved smoothly into the apex of each curve in the freeway, avoiding braking traction with the highway as they sped past cars and trucks spaced apart. "Whoa, that was close," said Dick, not wanting to break his speed. "I made 190 back there. That's gotta be a record, even for Tennessee," he said, gripping the wheel with both hands, trying to keep the back end from coming around. "There it is," said Kyle after a few minutes. "Slow down. Don't blow by them. Hang back a little." "Damn, they only have 5 miles to go until the off-ramp." He was sweating now, dragging the tabs around so he could access the right program. "Get in behind them. I have the radio jammed," he said. "I got it," said Dick, matching their speed about 3 lengths behind them. "Okay, watch out now," he said. "I'm shutting down their fuel supply," and the SUV began to swerve inside their own lane. "Oh, yeah. What's the matter? Is that Bosch fuel system feeling like you're dragging a foot?" The SUV slowed to a stop and pulled into the emergency lane with the Challenger coming in close behind them. "What do we do now, buddy?" asked Dick, worried that cops would come out with guns blazing. "I have the front doors and the windows locked out. Let's go get the girls," said Kyle. The boys unhooked their harnesses and swung the doors open, running up to the SUV close behind the back glass. They each took a side and opened the back doors of the SUV. "Looks like you're having car trouble, miss. Can we be of assistance?" said Dick as he pulled Katie out of the driver's side. Katie bolted out of the vehicle and into Dick's arms while Kyle helped Donna out of the passenger side. Her eyes were red and puffy from crying, and Kyle wrapped his arms around her as he slammed the door shut. D, Dick leaned toward the open door without giving them a line of sight to him. The two officers were yelling at him to stop through the fine wire mesh behind their seats. "Have a nice day, officers," said Dick as he ducked back out and slammed the rear door, silencing the two officers trapped in the front seat. "Let's go," said Dick to Katie. Kyle had Donna's zip tie cut off with his Leatherman multi-tool he always kept on his belt. He cut Katie's restraint off as well, and they rubbed their sore wrists with their hands. "Oh my God, you guys are so dangerous," said Katie. "No step for a stepper," said Dick. "Climb in the back and fasten your belts. We're out of here." With that, the boys climbed in and hooked up their harnesses. Within seconds, the purple Challenger spun the back tires fiercely, engulfing the SUV in a cloud of blue tire smoke. By the time the smoke cleared, the Challenger was 100 yards up the freeway and spitting asphalt behind it like a rocket. The turbos whined as the engine groaned through its high-performance gears, delivering 140 miles an hour within 10 seconds flat. "Damn, I love this car," yelled Dick as he held onto the wheel like he was hanging from it over the side of a cliff. "And I love you," said Katie, yelling from the back seat. "How the hell did you do that?" "And you thought it was all a video game," he answered as he let off the accelerator once they were a few miles up the road. "What was that all about, anyway?" asked Kyle. "You girls aren't axe murderers, are you? We're just bloggers. But it looks like we got somebody excited about our most recent post," said Donna. "Yeah, well, no worries," said Dick. "We know what it's like to piss off people in the government." "Yeah, but we made some friends in high places, too," said Kyle. "Can you get us off America's Most Wanted?" asked Donna, finally smiling. "We'll make a call when we get back," said Dick. "You don't think there'll be an all-points bulletin out for a purple Challenger?" asked Katie. "It wouldn't be the first time," said Kyle. "Probably won't be the last," said Dick, fist-bumping Kyle. "I'm serious, Dick," said Katie. "Those guys make people disappear." "Welcome to the big leagues, Katie," said Dick, trying to be serious. "You guys don't understand," said Donna. "We have reason to believe that someone has stolen at least one nuclear warhead, and the federal government is covering it up. This is off the charts extreme." Dick let off the accelerator and began to slow down to normal speed. "Where are we at, buddy?" he asked Kyle. "Get off at the 11E exit up here in Corbin. We'll take it across to I-81 through the Cumberland Tunnel," said Kyle. "Irwin? You guys are still going to Irwin? Are you crazy?" asked Katie. "Certifiably," said Dick. "Are we ready to make the call?" asked Kyle. "I think it's time, little brother," said Dick. Kyle took out his cell phone, selected the number from his contacts, and held the phone to his ear. "Smith," was the one-word answer. "Hey, Agent Smith, this is Kyle," he said. "We were just thinking about you. How are you doing? You boys haven't been street racing again, have you?" he said. "Not exactly, but we do have a situation that might be interesting," said Kyle. "Is Dick with you?" he asked. "Yes, and we have two bloggers with us who have uncovered something kind of major," said Kyle. "I'm listening," he said calmly. "Okay, here's the deal. We just came from Oak Ridge National Labs, and we have good reason to believe that at least one warhead has been stolen from Nuclear Fuel Services in Irwin, Tennessee," he said. "Hang up the phone, Kyle." "What?" But the call had already ended. "Huh. He hung up on me." "This is the exit. I'm getting off here," said Dick. "Turn which way?" "Right, turn right, and stay on that road through the tunnel and then through Rogersville, Morristown, and you hit I-81. Go north on that freeway," said Kyle distantly as he tried to figure out what to do. "Are you sure they are your friends?" asked Donna. "We kind of have this mutual life-saving thing going on," said Dick. Suddenly, Kyle's phone rang with the funny car ring tone blasting out of the speaker. "Hello?" answered Kyle. "Jones here, on a secured line. What's up, Kyle?" "Oh, hey, Agent Jones," said Kyle. "What is your report?" asked Jones. "My report?" "Smith said you had some important information," said Jones, correcting his conversation to less official tone. "Oh, yeah. We have some bloggers with us who have reason to believe that at least one warhead has been stolen from Nuclear Fuel Services in Irwin, Tennessee, repeated Kyle. Bloggers, huh? Asked Jones. Yeah, and we sort of just busted them out of federal custody, said Kyle. Where are you? Where are you going? Asked Jones. We're getting ready to go through the Cumberland Tunnel east of Corbin, Tennessee. We're going to Irwin to see if we can pick up a scent, said Kyle. How do you plan to do that? Asked Jones, considering the intellect with whom he was speaking. We have sodium iodide crystals and a spectrometer. This stuff will leave a trail for about a month wherever it goes, but you can't see it with a Geiger counter, said Kyle. And what are you going to do when you pick up the trail? Asked Jones, leading Kyle through the conversation. Call you? That's right. I'm going to talk to the president now, said Jones. Before you do that, there might be an all-points bulletin out for the Challenger, said Kyle, waiting for the response. I will do what I can and call you back in 10 minutes, said Jones. Thanks, Agent Jones, said Kyle, and the call ended. What did he say? Asked Dick. He's going to talk to the president, and he'll call me back, said Kyle, feeling the adrenaline in his blood drop back to normal levels. The president of the United States? Asked Donna. The one and only, said Kyle. Well, that is a friend in high places, said Katie. If we pick up the trail outside of Irwin, we're supposed to call him back, said Kyle. I also think he's going to nuke the all-points bulletin on the Challenger. No pun intended. Good. It's kind of hard to hide this grape ape in the daylight, said Dick. Just drive the speed limit through here. City and state boys might not be so easy to work with, said Kyle. The car wound its way up the west side of the Appalachian Mountains and through the Cumberland Tunnel that took them through to Rogersville. As soon as they came out of the tunnel, Kyle's phone rang. Hello? Jones here. Okay, listen up. You are very much in harm's way. Your little team is on the trail of the hottest topic on the boss's mind right now. The president has no asset in position and no one he can trust to help you right now. ATF is out of the question, too. This stuff is not so easy to spot from a distance, said Jones. I know. No gamma signature. It's an alpha emitter. I have a 4-inch crystal, so I can pick it up, said Kyle. We think they mean to export these things. We just don't know which port they will use. Don't pursue. Any sign of trouble, you call me. You got that? Asked Jones. Yeah, I got it, said Kyle, fully expecting Jones to hang up on him again. And Kyle? Yes, Agent Jones. You take care of your driver. Yes, sir, said Kyle with a lump in his throat. They turned on to Interstate 81 and headed north toward Kingsport and didn't see any more police. I need a pee break, said Katie. Yeah, me too, said Dick. We'll stop ahead and take a break. I want to say something I don't know how to say, Kyle began. His head was remarkably clear given the stress of the situation. Perhaps it was the feelings he had for Donna. Perhaps it was the distance he had come during this entire adventure. After all, he resolved, this was just one more ultimate threat to his life. What is it, Kyle? Asked Donna, leaning forward to put her hand on his neck from the back seat. Jones said that the president has no one else they can trust to find these warheads. He said that we are in harm's way, said Kyle in a new voice of logic and calm. Oh, well, that's something new, said Dick. And he said that they expect them to be exported. We just have to find the port, and then we're out, said Kyle with focal punctuation. The way I look at it, there are three things we can do, said Katie. What? Asked Donna and Kyle at the same time. We could quit this insanity and find a safe place, she said, holding up a single finger on her right hand. We can find the evidence and make a best guess on the port of exit from the country, or we can follow the trail all the way to find out who's involved. I like option one, said Dick, holding his hand up and smiling. No one laughed with his effort to lighten the mood. I think we can do option two and stay alive, said Kyle. Then I'm with Dick, he said, looking in the vanity mirror of the sun visor at Donna's returning smile. This shadow government inside our country has been killing millions of people for over 100 years. Hell, they may be the same people responsible for the terror attacks themselves, just for amusement. I guarantee you this is big enough event that they're right in the middle of it. If we can find them, Riker can end them, she said with a masculine power to her voice. Nobody ever signs up for this, she snapped. It's called doing the right thing. Millions of people are going to die if we don't. Okay, now hold it for a second, said Kyle. I know a little something about great generations and superheroes and some other stuff too. We could have gone home this morning after breakfast, but we didn't. We could drop you off at the next gas station, but we won't. His voice was raising in pitch like he was holding back the emotion climbing over his intelligence like ants inside his brain. We have stepped into a singularity together. We make no plan from here forward. We watch for the crack, and we go for it. There was a pause in the car as Dick began to slow down for the exit ahead. I take everything back about you being my little brother, said Dick, holding his right hand out with his palm up. I think he's amazing, said Donna, rubbing his shoulder. Okay, forget I said anything, said Katie, sitting back in her seat. We're in tight curves, said Dick. Just look at the immediate situation and negotiate the turn and mash the motor. There is no second or third turn. There's only this turn. That's what I know, said Kyle, slapping Dick's outstretched hand. But the mood wouldn't go back there. Kyle had placed another rung in the top of the ladder for them to climb. He was calm. His mastery of the challenge was superior. And he was right.